This article comes out of The Guardian, who apparently doesn't credit their authors for some reason. I hate outlets that do this. Mm. The BBC.
It was written by The Guardian.
They came up with it. There was no copy or pasting at all. You know it is legit.
Well, let's see how well this entity writes. The Vatican said it was seeking explanations from Instagram after Pope Francis's official account liked a photo of a scantily dressed Brazilian model.
Damn you, Instagram.
When the photo of Natalia Garibaldi was given an endorsement by the Pope's verified account, but the like was still visible on the 13th of November before being unliked the next day, according to the Catholic news agency.
They changed their mind.
COY Co., Garibaldi's management company, made the most of the publicity and reposted the image on its own Instagram account last Friday, saying the company had received the Pope's official blessing. Garibaldi, who has 2.4 million Instagram followers, is also reported to have joked, "At least I'm going to heaven." Citing sources close to the Vatican's press office, CNA said an investigation was underway to determine how the photo came to be liked. A team of people managed the Pope's various social media accounts. A Vatican spokesperson told The Guardian, "We can exclude that the like came from Pope Francis. Came from the Holy See." And as it turned to Instagram for explanations, Pope Francis is hugely popular across social media with his official Instagram account, which operates under the username Francius, attracting 7.4 million followers. The account does not follow any other accounts. Yeah, this account's very careful about what it does here. Clearly, the Pope's getting thirsty.
There's a devil emoji right in the caption. Like that kind of seems a bit racy, you know. And I mean, like, that miniskirt, I think, is like, that's around her belly button. That's not where a miniskirt goes.
It's a belt. Come on, what's that doing?
It's a belt with a little bit of frill on it.
All right, so I didn't look into this before, but I saw the picture in glancing, and I thought it was Ariana Grande that he disliked.
I mean, it's kind of a ponytail vibe.
Okay, right. Yeah, so she's going to get into heaven as long as she gets with the old Mandy. It's quite a trade-off. Is it worth it? That's the question.
What's the best way to get into heaven? Like, doing all the prayer and that kind of stuff, or just...
Yeah, you definitely do trim a lot. Yeah, you do trim a lot of bullshit. So I guess in terms of sheer time dump, that's an efficient way to go.
It's much more efficient.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say in 2020, a like from the Pope is probably the most clear way to get into heaven, I would dare say, for sure.
Oi, but how about this, though? I was actually shocked to hear that his Twitter following was 7.4 million.
His Instagram.
Oh, okay, Insta. Okay, right. Yeah, because I was going to say
his Twitter's even more. It's over 18 million on Twitter.
Okay, I would have been expecting hundreds of millions. Like,
yeah, maybe.
If you're
how
real
many Christians, are there?
I mean, like, I was raised Catholic, but I'm not. So I don't like that. But I would have thought, if you're Catholic and you know, wouldn't you follow your goddamn leader?
I also feel like the like Twitter and shit would not skew to like the kind of demographics that would be devout Catholics necessarily.
Oh, yeah, definitely no oldies are operating these things, including the Pope themselves. So it's all young, it's all the youngins. But still, there's a lot of youngins out there.
So do you think this is like an intern or something?
Oh yeah, most definitely. No, the dude's like 80 years old. He doesn't know what a keyboard is. Like,
does the Vatican have a social media team?
Absolutely, they do. They have several buildings devoted solely to PR. Do you realize how much bad PR they've had over the last couple of decades?
Oh yeah. I like to think there's some intern who like forgot to switch over from their like to their private Instagram account on their phone.
Yeah, I reckon they had some. They had some noob that was like working until fucking 4 a.m. and they just spaced out and confused.
Yeah.
The accounts they're managing.
And as for what you were saying before, Lockie, as far as the amount of followers the Pope has, like if you look at the most famous people in the world today, Jesus is definitely not the most famous. Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is easily more famous than Jesus these days.
Yeah, well, that,
and he has 204 million followers.
Yes, that's a number that I would have thought, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because
now that's someone
that
people
a lot of people still like religion, theoretically. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good sign with the dwindling followers. It's pretty low.
Yeah, and Jesus has gone away. We know The Rock is, like, sticking around. Like, that, nothing would be able to kill that man.
Maybe they're trying. All right. Well, hey, maybe it was a concerted move by the Vatican to try and relate more to the youngins. They're like, oh yeah, we're hip. We know what's hot.
I do love the idea that, like, you have the Pope. The Pope doesn't do the Instagram, but then, like, all the whatever the second level of Catholicism is, like the cardinals or whatever, or just like you know, and just like going around the table choosing filters and shit.
Fun fact for you guys, a lot of people don't know this, but The Rock is actually the actual rock that they used to entomb Jesus back 2,000 years ago.
So The Rock is bigger than Jesus.
I'm just thinking, like, have you heard of, like, hashtag farmcore? I'm thinking of, like, hashtag churchcore, where, like, all these priests are, like, doing these duck-faced pouty emojis to try and relate
the
to the youngins.
The Catholic boat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, South Park. Okay. There's no getting away from that. That's why.
Welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name's Zach and I am once again sitting with my co-host, the nebulous co-host who interchanges their name each and every week.
Alright, so I thought of this on the spot and this is me basically outing myself as a big weeb. But I'm gonna say this week, because of our guest and because of the year it is, my name is Dean.
I thought you meant actual weavers and, like, you're gonna be like, I'm Naruto this week.
Oh, no, I can't go that far. I mean, look, we all went through that phase, so no hate on those people. I did the lame ninja run for a little bit in my younger days. Yeah. You know, how could you not? It was so cool. And then you realised it wasn't. But this is entirely in service of Destiel, hashtag Destiel, the revival of Tumblr from 2005. Oh, and him immediately going to super hell. I haven't watched Supernatural since season 5, and I believe it's in its 18th final season now.
That show's still going? Okay, all right, we need to move on here.
Damn it, Sammy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Yeah, welcome to the podcast for the first time, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much for joining us again. Keen listeners to the show will know that last time we had Sam on, we had half of the news that week, which I still think it was a fan bloody test.
Oh yeah, it was. But I'm hoping, you know, like, with a full week of news, you know, some cool games to talk about, that maybe this episode might be memorable for some people. Lockie.
Oh, you actually listen. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, Lockie. People listen to this show sometimes. I gotta remember that.
Listen, I have I am the first to say I have some sort of undiagnosed memory issue, because I just don't remember much. I just don't, and it's Christ. No offense to you. I apologize. It's just
I'm just fucking with you.
I am.
Well,
fucked
look. As much as we fucked up that first time, we got to benefit in the end, because we got you back on here. It was only like a month ago you were on here. We got you back here already. We locked you in right at the very end of the episode last time. And it is so good to have you on again. I'm glad that we have so much good news to get to. Like, not good news. It's a lot of bad news. But we have lots of juicy stories. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get cracking, Sam, you want to let all the lovely people know where they can listen and check out all your stuff?
Well, you can catch me on Twitch and Twitter at SammyDeedge, SammyDeedge. I have a music Twitter, which is Pyrite Music, PYRYT_music. And you can catch me as a regular, the better half of the Inconsolables, the Inconsolables AU podcast stuff.
I like, yeah, you make up for a whole half of them.
Yeah, you're 50% despite the fact that you've got 4 and 5 regulars. Yeah.
Yeah, there's 4 regulars.
Damn, you carry. So you're saying you carry at least more than half of the show.
I wouldn't say that, not in public, where someone could, you know, give me shit for it. I would never.
Oh, I can't wait for the others to hear this one.
I say that all the time. I literally have like a notification when I go on Twitch that's just like, the better half of the Inconsolables.
Oh, I love it. Nice. If you want to check out everything News to Reviews does, you can check us out on all these socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And leave us a review if you can, because it does help us get into the ears of more people. And you'll be able to find all of these links in the show notes below, including all of Sam's lovely links as well. Now, without a further ado, I don't know why I said that. I never say that. I felt really wrong.
Moving on.
Let's get cracking with the gaming news. This first story comes out of IGN and was written by Matt Kim. Earlier this week, Capcom confirmed it was the victim of a customized ransomware attack.
Oh no!
Led to unauthorized access to its network. Capcom says corporate employee and customer information may have been compromised by the attack. Subsequently, materials from those leaks have been released onto the internet. While unable to verify them all, sources close to Capcom have told IGN that many are genuine. As more information from the leaked data packages continue to trickle out, Capcom's alleged game development plans for the next 4 years appear to have made their way online. The schedule includes a mix of sequels and remakes, while others are only listed under their codenames. Here is a list of the biggest names listed in the purported schedule. Resident Evil Outbreak, coming Q4 2021. These are all the financial years, by the way, which I'm not sure.
That was an unfortunate title.
How their financial year works.
Yeah, like financial year's like July to June, isn't it? Something like that.
But this is in Japan, so I'm not sure if it's different.
I'll Google financial year while you read through the rest.
Oh, sorry, okay, when's Resident Evil Coronavirus coming out?
Quarter four.
Which one is that?
Okay. The financial year. It's the top one.
Okay. Yeah, I called it Coronavirus. I didn't get any.
Is that what
I
was being called?
Let's move past it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a solid
Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out.
Let's move on. I don't want to... move on. Get away from my joke.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
I'm just going to mute myself for a bit.
Yeah, I'm just going to go away.
Financial year 22. Street Fighter 6 comes out Q3 financial year 22. Rockman, Mega Man in North America. Match comes out Q3 financial year 2022. Resident Evil 4 Remake comes out Q4 22. Monster Hunter 6 comes out Q2 23.
Oh,
Biohazard Apocalypse comes out Q3
23.
It's
Resident Evil, isn't it?
I think so. That's one I was guessing with Resident Evil, but it seems like a long way off to be that as well, too, like 2023. SSF6 comes out Q4 financial year 23. Final Fight Remake comes Q2 24. Power Stone Remake comes out Q3 24. Ultra SF6 comes out Q4 24. Resident Evil Hank, likely Hunk, comes out Q4 financial year 24.
Well, that could be like a translation thing.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of those were code names, as they mentioned earlier in the article as well, too.
So why,
but you can sort of make assumptions for a bunch of these, I would say. Sources confirmed to IGN that some of the games included in the list are legitimate, including Dragon's Dogma 2 and Street Fighter 6, but could potentially be out of date. Many other games revealed in the leak are listed under code names. Capcom detected the ransomware attacks in the early mornings hours of November 2nd, 2020. The attack destroyed and encrypted data on Capcom servers, and criminal organization Ragnar Locker messaged the company demanding a money ransom for the compromised information.
Oh, now, God, we can't escape the Vikings, can we? They just keep... They're everywhere at the moment.
Oh, Zach's gone. Bye.
Oh, so
apparently,
bye, Zach.
Apparently the Japanese fiscal year is from the start of April to the end of March, just as a heads up.
Oh, okay, so, right.
My dog was at the door.
I think that kind of means, like, everything is kind of, I guess, shifted, like, a little bit. So, like, quarter four would be what we would consider to be quarter one. And, like, quarter three would be quarter four and so on.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah,
that's
that sounds fun. That sounds like it wouldn't be a pain to deal with in that industry. But, yeah. Oh,
well. I don't even really understand the concept of fiscal years, really. But, yeah, I mean... I don't know what I was supposed to say, like, games. Oh,
look, so, look, this was a massive, massive leak, and, like, normally I'd put this into somebody's leaking, because it's been a long time since we've done one of those segments, but I didn't feel, it's, you know, there's obviously a bit of a jokey tone to somebody's leaking, and I felt a bit wrong about doing it with this information, because the way they obtained it was not great at
somebody's
all, it was
hacking.
Awful.
Yeah, somebody's yeah, being a cunt. Like,
yeah, well, I'm sure you guys probably are familiar, but people who don't know, ransomware is where basically they hijack all your information on your computer and they hold it to ransom unless you pay a certain amount, usually in Bitcoin. Capcom refused to pay the ransom, and so they released all this information. Now, look, it's always great getting some, like, knowing some dates for some games and stuff, but yeah, a lot of personal information of the employees was put out there, email addresses, phone numbers, names, like, everything, customer information, and affected hundreds of thousands of people, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Bloody, bloody awful, but... Other than that, any of the titles here that you can actually figure out what the fuck they are? I think Resident Evil 4 remake, that's something that hasn't even been announced, has it?
No, it definitely hasn't. I mean, lots of people speculated that we were probably going to be getting something like that.
Now, considering we got Resident Evil 2 remake and Resident Evil 3 remake, what? I guess it's to be expected. But that's something that's going to have a lot of people, like the general consensus out there on the interwebs and in the ethos is that Resident Evil 4 is the tippy top of the Resident Evil franchise, and people just absolutely love that game. So this is going to have people so excited knowing they get to the remakes that they've been doing have been knocking it out of the park. My kind of thing, because they're too scary. But yeah, bloody
damn it! I was going to make that joke.
What, neither of you played any of the Resident Evil stuff.
Yeah, it's got evil in the title. Ooh, spooky. There you go. So I fucking just plowed through there anyway.
I mean, like, I feel like 3 is, like, less scary and more, like, action shit.
Okay.
You know, and admittedly, I like it the least out of 3 that I played. But, like, come on, it's so cool.
I saw the one where it was mostly, like, a metaphor for Ebola. I played a little bit of that one.
That was 4, wasn't
what,
it?
Like, no, wasn't it like 5 or 6, probably?
Yeah, I think it was 5 or 6. 5's
the one where they go to Africa. Yeah,
yeah, I've heard those two as shit.
Yeah, I didn't like it, and I moved on quite quickly on that one. It's just the controls were super clunky, and on the console, where aiming through a remote control anyway is a pain in the ass, because you have to deal with latency. Like, I just couldn't. Fuck this. I'm going back to PC.
I actually have played Resident Evil 4. I played it on the Nintendo Wii back in the day. I didn't own the game. I never owned a Wii, but a neighbor of ours had it. So, yeah, played it on. But I remember, like having a lot of fun with it and thinking it was, like, really scary and awesome, but just trying to aim with that Wii remote was a fucking nightmare.
So I've only played it on PC, and I've only played like a little bit. And I think what I really need to do is see if there's like a mod that just changes the controls, because the controls are ridiculous. Because like you'll aim with like the mouse, but like if you want to turn your character, you have to use like WASD. So if it's like
your character.
Yeah, so if it's more than like 45 degrees, you have to, and it's just like, no, I can't deal with this.
Isn't that basically tank controls at that point?
That shit takes me
all
the way...
That's tank controls, right?
That takes me all the way back to Nintendo 64 Conker's Bad Fur Day, where, you know, you had to do that when you're in a tank and stuff, and, like, yeah, no, that...
Yeah, it's like that, but all the time.
Yeah, that's insane to hear that something was, like, was on the PC, and it was still forcing you to do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to see if I can find a mod and maybe play that at some point, because I've had it on my Steam for ages, and I just haven't touched it, because I hate the controls so much.
Mm. Bloody oath. Well, people, get excited for Resident Evil 4, but don't get excited for this next story. Now, we were talking about the Pope earlier on in the show.
Oh, God, and we're going back. Wow. Okay, wow.
Ubisoft certainly...
Yeah, we're going straight into that metaphor, okay?
Back into
Ubisoft certainly has taken some cues from the Vatican in their recent behavior. This article comes out of Geek Culture and was written by Marion Frainer. Ubisoft's upper crop has been undergoing some internal reshuffling in recent months. Most recently, the managing director of its Singapore studio, Hugus Rekor, has been removed from his position after a leadership audit was conducted. Kotaku reports that Rekor, who had up until this point had been supervising work on Skull and Bones, who the fuck knows when that game's ever going to come out, was among a list of various members of Ubisoft management who were allegedly involved in multiple instances of sexual misconduct within the publisher's ranks. We can confirm that Hugus Rekor is both stepping down from his role as managing director and also leaving the Singapore studio, but will remain at Ubisoft. And Ubisoft representative told Kotaku. Investigations regarding this workplace abuse began as early as 14th of August via Gamasutra, where various Ubisoft branches globally have been subject to similar leadership audits. Rekor specifically was reported to have been making suggestive and inappropriate comments about the clothing of female employees and would encourage them to kiss him during work events. Furthermore, his management style was seen as problematic. Oh, fucking
Jesus. It was seen as, in inverted commas, gross.
It's a little bit of a bad look.
Often resorting to bullying and making condescending remarks towards employees who challenged him.
Neither what, Ubisoft you don't want to kiss me in front of everyone? What?
Has what? Confirmed his new role or location. Nice. Meanwhile, Skull and Bones is still in development and has been taken off its 2020 release schedule to potentially launch in April 2021 instead. So, as you can see, the main crux of that article is that Skull and Bones is going to be coming out in April 2021, so we're all very excited to hear about it.
Don't even joke about that, because there are some people who'll be like, oh, cool, Skull and Bones, and ignore the entire rest of it.
Probably. My God, like, Sam, I'll let you take the lead on this one. What do you think about Ubisoft doing here? Do you think they're doing their due diligence in dealing with this issue?
No, they're not. They're doing their due diligence in maintaining good PR in spite of, like, shitty things that they're doing. Yeah, this is gross because, like, here's the thing. Like, a bunch of the articles are going to just be like, oh, this person who did sexual assault was removed from his position. Mm. And, you know, people won't necessarily read the follow-up to, oh, but he's just moving somewhere else.
Mm. Which is... Yeah, like the headline, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross. Ubisoft is being super gross. You know, I'm even more thankful that I didn't get into fucking Watch Dogs because I saw, you know, enough footage to be like, eh, not going to be my thing. Yeah, I don't even know what to fucking say about, like, Ubisoft these days. Like, it's stunning that, you know, they're able to operate and stuff. And, you know, and I mean, you know, no one should take, you know, the whole, like, Ubisoft got, like, swatted as, like, a good thing because, like, it put developers in danger and stuff. But also just, like, there needs to be some kind of crazy something happening to deal with that company because what the fuck is happening? They're just they're just like doing all the worst shit in public and everybody's seeing it and everybody's reading about it and they're still making shit tons of money off their games.
Yeah, they get it from both ends. They get it from their terrible culture that they have at their workplace and like and rightly so. And then they also get it from like alt-right trolls and stuff as well too, who don't like that they give you gay options in their fantasy RPGs, like that you do not have to take at all if you do not want to.
Just on that note, that's not particularly them being open-minded. It's really easy to do when you code a male and a female character and you make love interests for them. So you just go, okay, well, let's give all the female dialogue options to
it's
the male.
It's literally
if you
less
want it.
Work.
Exactly. It's as easy as that. And, like, so it's not much effort on their part to do that. So they're like, ah, fuck it, we'll just include it. And anyone who wants what they want can have the experience they want. But going back to this, my question is, was this head office? Is this in France?
No, this is Singapore.
Singapore. Yeah, Singapore. Okay. All right. So Singapore's now a bit of a blip, because that's the thing. Ubisoft is massive. They've got offices all over the world, and within those offices individually, they have their own cultures, their own workplace laws that they got to deal with,
which prohibits sexual assault.
Yeah, you would have thought that'd be an instant dismissal, but apparently not. So I'm just curious, because I've heard a lot of the nasty shit mostly coming from French HQ, not great leadership guys over there, because it seems to be permeating. Yeah, so this is one of those things where they're still doing shitty workplace practices. They're not really rectifying the solution. They're trying to appear like they're doing something, but it's all face value, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah. It's just like...
Same more Ubisoft shenanigans.
I referenced it, like, leading in the segue of this, that taking a page straight out of the... It's not something that a good organization does, moving their people around to hide abuse, okay? From what we've learned in the early 2000s, it's not good. So, yeah, any comparisons to the church in that respect, I think... You're in trouble. you've got some bad attention on you, and I think until they get rid of fucking Yves Guillemot, until that motherfucker is booted out of the company, and you know has no sort of control over any operations there whatsoever, I don't think we're really going to see any change going throughout the whole company. Like their own internal audit found that it was like 1 in 4 people. Have experienced a time, it was like in the last 100 days or a couple of years, where they felt uncomfortable or like they'd been harassed in the workplace, which is a massive number. And yeah, it is a huge company, so it may be concentrated in particular countries, I know, but 1 in 4 is huge. Yeah. And it clearly is like a systemic issue at that point. So they've got a lot of work still yet to be done, and stories like this don't give me a lot of hope, that's for sure.
No. Well, the thing why not just fire this guy? So, like, to have, like, to have, like, this percentile of normalcy around it, it's just damning. Like, he should be booted. Anyway, they make decent games, so here we are.
I mean, that's debatable.
Oh, okay, we'll get into that.
Still don't know why Assassin's Creed.
I don't want to defend Ubisoft. Don't put me in that position. Doing all this evil shit and now I'm going to defend their product.
Speaking of terrible comparisons, I'll let you take it away with this next story, Sam.
Okay, so this one is from Kotaku, written by Ash Parrish, which has it has a fantastic title. It's something along the lines of like, I'm sorry, Tim Sweeney, but no, absolutely not, kind of thing. And it goes a little something like this. Tim Sweeney, who is probably celebrating the small victory of Apple sharing their cut of Apple Store developers making less than 1 million US in half, does not know when to shut up. And we'll get back to that point in just a sec, because I absolutely love it so much. As reported by TechCrunch, the CEO of Epic Games decided to fix his mouth to liken his company's struggle against Apple to the civil rights movement in a conversation hosted by the New York Times Online Summit Deal book. Here's the quote. It's everybody's duty to fight. Wait, what kind of voice do you think Team Sweeney would have?
It's everyone's duty to fight. It's not just an option that somebody's lawyers might decide, but it's actually our duty to fight that. If we had adhered to all of Apple's terms and, you know, taken their 30% payment processing fees and passed up the cost along to our customers, then that would be epic colluding with Apple to restrain competition on iOS and to inflate prices for customers. So going along with Apple's agreement is what is wrong, and that's why Epic mounted a challenge to this. And you know, you can hear any of and inaudible two civil rights fights where there were actual laws on the books, and the laws were wrong, and people disobeyed them. And it was not wrong to disobey them, because to go along with them would be collusion to make them status quo.
He's literally comparing the fight that Epic has mounted against Apple as like civil rights disobedience. Epic is a billion, like, we're fighting against Apple, which is a $1 trillion company, and that's like good because anti-capitalism, but like, he's not like a scrappy underdog. It's a $1 billion company.
Yeah, it's not anti-capitalism. It's two very capitalist organizations that want to have
it's
control.
It's pro-my capitalism, yeah, not it's anti-their capitalism.
Look, anytime two juggernauts fight against each other, it weakens the entire chain. So that's how, I guess, it could be, that's a good thing. But like, yeah, fucking nonsense. Like,
I know I should be angry about this, but I can't help but just find this so fucking hilarious. This is like something. It's like something from fucking Silicon Valley, the HBO show. It's like literally, this guy is so disconnected from other humans. He's used to having these worker drones that he pays to just do whatever he says around him, and just, you know, they probably nod along to something like that, being like, you're pretty much the modern day Martin Luther King. You are Tim Sweeney. Oh, thank you for sticking up for the poor executives at Epic. Holy fucking shit.
I mean, the context of this story is hilarious though, because like, basically what happened is like,
was that a Black Lives Matter rally?
Yes.
No, but what? Like, it was hilarious because he was fucking with it. obviously. So this was kind of in response to a certain extent to the fact that Epic were just like, we're going to challenge Apple because they take too much money away from developers and stuff. And what Apple did is they were just like, you know what? That's completely right. We're going to cut the commission and the share that we take away from developers in half if you make less than $1 million US, which essentially means, yeah, we're going to like help out indies, but not you. And that is it's just so absolutely perfect, because like it helps indie developers, and it's also just a massive fuck you to Tim Sweeney. Oh, it's such an aesthetic. I love it so much. I'm just like reclining on a chaise lounge and like robot butlers bringing me the head of Tim Sweeney. And just gaze upon it. It's just while they upend a bag of Doritos and Mountain Dew into my mouth. It's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I want to live in this world.
That's such a vivid picture. I'm right there holding that Doritos bag, pouring them into your mouth. That's a fantastic
beautiful
image.
It's beautiful.
Oh my God. Bloody Tim Sweeney. Jesus Christ. That's just perfect. It's great to know that indies are developing, benefiting from this in some way. That's awesome. Like, usually I couldn't really care when it's like two corporations hashing it out, but to see that indies are getting a boon from it, awesome.
But I don't even really want to be like, good job, Tim Sweeney, because it's just like, no, it's a side effect of what he actually wanted, which is to have Epic Store in more places, which, I mean, like, let's pull up the trailer. How long is it until we get a fucking shopping cart? Fuck's sake. I still haven't got a how long has that been up? It's been up like, 2 years? And they're just like, yeah, so we don't have a shopping cart yet. I just... how can they, like, literally the only way that they can get people in is with exclusives, and it's fucking sad, and it's still second from the bottom on the list of future development. Fucking just give us a shopping cart, Tim.
Look, man, they don't need to run a good store. If they can just win this fight with Apple, they'll make all the money they need that way anyway, you know? They're just picking their battles, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait until we get... That would be great, because, I mean, we've got Android Store on the list of future development. So maybe, like, once we get, like, the Apple stuff, then all the Apple stuff, and then, like, you know, Apple searching through the thing, and Apple different currencies, and then shopping cart will just get pushed even further down the list. I'm just like, dude, just do the basic shit first.
Yeah.
God, it's upsetting.
Well, you know what I don't think is going to be basic? IO Interactive making a James Bond game. This comes out from their James Bond Twitter account. Project 007, that's a working title, is a brand new James Bond video game with a wholly original story. Earn your 00 status in the very first James Bond origin story to be developed and published by IO Interactive. Now, I am not a fan of the Hitman games. I know people absolutely love them. I gave Hitman Season 1 a try. To be honest, I didn't really give it a good enough try. So it is a series that I may like to return to. I might give Hitman 2 a try. But a lot of people are very excited about this. It seems like a pretty good fit. You know, they make Hitman games. James Bond murders lots of people. He's basically a Hitman, I guess.
But he's also not super stealthy.
James Bond ain't always stealthy. I remember him riding that wave using the riding that wave in Antarctica or whatever.
In fucking like Die Another Day with that awful CGI. Yeah. I mean, that's not stealth
The guy with the diamonds on his face. Yeah, that was. Yeah. I like that movie. That was it was a bad movie, but I loved it. It's one of my favorites.
Best Bond film, don't it?
Oh, well, like, you know, fucking compare that. Okay, so that's all comic fun and crazy shit going on. Compare that to fucking Quantum Solace, you know. Like,
Quantum of Solace.
Come on. is it worth remembering correctly?
I mean, not really. It wasn't that great. That was
The video game
was surprisingly okay for a tie-in video game. It was basically Call of Duty, but James Bond, which I know that's probably a groan from the both of you.
GoldenEye is one of the greatest James Bond games of all time, and you're just mowing down people. There's no stealth there, so...
Skyfall was good.
Yeah, Skyfall was good.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that there seems to be a lot more kind of game adaptations of movies. Like, we've had, I almost said Jonah Hill Hex. John Wick Hex.
Oh, John Wick Hex.
Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill Hex. I'd prefer Jonah Hill Hex.
I think I went from Jonah Hex to Jonah Hill Hex or something like that. That's a thing, right? Anyway,
play the fuck out of that.
Yeah, like, there's lots of games like that, which I find kind of interesting because, like, I guess a lot of it is that, like, it's the transition from, like, tie-ins of specific movies versus, like, adaptations of different franchises, which I find interesting. And, I mean, like, I think we're still kind of waiting for one to properly be successful, though, is the thing. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm more than happy, you know, for them to try. And I think, you know, IO Interactive is a good choice in terms of, you know, developers for this. But, you know, I'm interested, but we're going to have to wait a lot of time before we can actually see enough stuff to, you know, see if it's going to be worth it, you know?
I would be open to a James Bond farming sim. You know, like, really, really try some stuff. Get
when he
out
retires.
There. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he retires in that Skyfall mansion and he tries to actually plant shit on that that Scottish bog.
Jeez.
You're just clearing
it. Does it become a FPS halfway through, or does it just keep being a farming sim?
I think after a while...
It just keeps teasing you.
It's a farming sim through and through, because, like, nothing... You saw that land. Nothing's fucking growing there, no matter how hard you try.
No, but like, what about if like a whole bunch of assassins just rock up in a helicopter? Do you just see a helicopter come in and then it just leaves and then it's just like back to the farming?
So. Well, that's the thing. If you add like a stamina bar, you have to decide whether or not you want to clear more of your shitty bog or deal with the assassins. And I think most of the game will push you to deal with the bog.
You shoot one of the people and you have to either A, go to sleep, or B, like buy more energy or yeah, something.
Exactly.
And your love interest is Denise Richards, and she just stays around working on her nuclear physicist.
Denise
problems.
Richards? Oh my god. Yeah.
Nuclear and physicist.
Okay. The ghost of Judi Dench will prompt you when you're about to run out of energy, and yeah, it'll be good.
Sold.
This next quick story comes from Kyle Orland. Comes out of Ars Technica. Speaking at the Jefferies Interactive Entertainment virtual conference last Friday, as transcribed by Seeking Alpha, Stewart said, this is Jim Stewart, said directly that in the long run, we don't have intentions of just pulling all of Bethesda's content out of Sony or Nintendo or otherwise. But what we want is we want that content in the long run to either be first or better or best, or pick your differentiated experience on our platforms. That's not a point about being exclusive, Stewart continued. That's not a point about adjusting timing or content or roadmap. But if you think about something like Game Pass, if it shows up best in Game Pass, that's what we want to see, and we want to drive our Game Pass subscribers base through that Bethesda pipeline. So that's just a bit of information about what may be happening with Bethesda titles in the future, and if they'll be coming to other consoles. Mm. Yeah, it's sounding like it's going to be timed exclusives.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's nice that they're saying that from the jump. Like, I mean, you know, if you think about, like, all the PlayStation games that have come to PC, super awesome, but, like, you know, like, they're several years and we had absolutely no idea any of that kind of stuff was coming. If you're explicitly saying, yes, we're going to bring it to everything, that's fucking awesome. Mm. You know, like, it's good to have, you know, not exclusives. You know, there is, like, a little bit of incentive and stuff there. But they're not, you know, trying to dominate the market. You know, at least, you know, like, we'll see how accurate this is, you know.
Yeah,
going
yeah.
Forward.
Yeah, TV confirmed, but yeah.
I've got a feeling some of the bigger titles are still going to end up being day and date. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one, and maybe the smaller ones are going to be more timed exclusives. I just feel
like... I can't
like
see a future where, like, Skyrim is just, like, exclusive to Xbox or some shit.
Exactly. I feel like people will write, like, you guys will be stoked because it will be on the Microsoft store, so you'll be able to play it on PC. But for me, I'd potentially be waiting a good 6 months to be playing the next Skyrim, which I'm so pumped for when we do finally get another Elder Scrolls.
Well, you know what, so, Zach? Then you know what it fucking feels like, hey? Like, you know,
yeah.
it's your turn to feel like you're missing out. So, you know, I'm not...
We've waited so long for... Beyond Two Souls. why is no one playing Sunset Overdrive? It's on Steam now. Fuck you guys. It's a good game.
Really?
Yeah, Steam. I've heard it's good.
It's so good.
Is that the one that inspired the Spider-Man games? That was what the studio worked on, yeah.
Legitimately, Sunset Overdrive and Spider-Man are my two favorite games of the generation.
And there you go. I have had FOMO before, because I definitely had FOMO when Sunset Overdrive came out. Insomniac Games, one of my favorite developers of all time. They're so fucking awesome. And a lot of people's favorite developers
awesome,
of all
but
time.
They also made Fuse, so...
Yeah, that wasn't their fault, Sam. That wasn't their fault.
All right, I'm going to have to look this up.
That was corporate interference. Their initial vision was wonderful and colourful and vibrant and full of character.
But then they just, like, chewed it up and chat it out and fused.
Yeah, because of whoever the publisher was at the time, I don't remember. I'm going to blame the publisher because I love Insomniac Games. Now, another developer that people love is Nintendo. But they might not be loving them a lot right now. Nintendo has been issuing DMCA takedowns for people who are playing the new Hyrule Warriors game on Twitch. Now, people in Australia and countries where, you know, we're living in the future due to time differences, we're like 24 hours ahead of like America around.
But our internet's in the Stone Age.
Like release it at like 4 a.m. like the next day or something.
Yeah, but look, we get some tiny little benefit in that, you know, we can start streaming some things before other people start streaming things. But in this situation, we did not get to enjoy that benefit. Nintendo was, issuing DMCAs to people who were streaming it because they assumed that they'd gotten leaked copies of the game, because apparently Nintendo doesn't know that
how places exist
outside of their time zone.
Wait, wait, wait. But, like, aren't we in pretty much the same time zone? Like, they're in Japan.
It wouldn't be that much difference. I don't know. Apparently the game was leaked earlier in the week, so that might be why they were kind of quick to pull the trigger.
Maybe it was an office in the US or something that went after it. I don't know. But yeah,
wouldn't that be some kind of thing that says the release dates, times in the different countries? That just makes sense to me.
Oh, it's like, just common sense. If you have a job in a business building, you generally have an idea of time zones because you occasionally have to deal with people that are on another side of the planet. Like, you just do.
It's not like how you're able to avoid company or anything.
No, but how you're able to avoid the concept of time zones entirely is astounding.
Impressive. Well, I mean, like, probably the logic, though, is like, well, it's on Twitch, and, you know, Twitch isn't necessary. Like, obviously, it would probably be tracking, you know, time zones and stuff, but they'd just go, oh, that one's early, delete it, or something, you know, without context, because, once again, DMCA strikes generally don't know anything about fucking context, and they just go, delete it, because it's probably illegal, even though we don't have any information. Yeah, it's shit.
Yeah, it really sucks. Like, there's a lot of people out there who streaming is their main source of income. If they stream every day, having 48 hours where they're not allowed to stream is a massive hit. It's one third of their revenue for the week, just about. It's not good. Especially on a new game like this, where they could have potentially had a fair few views, a fair few subbies, a fair few cheery bits, you know? Anyway, that'll do for that one. Fuck you, Nintendo. Get with the times. The internet exists. Time zones exist.
And also release more fucking DLC for your good games. Like, come on. I just need release games.
That'd be good. Like, that'd be just good, other than just Animal Crossing all year.
All I want is another board for Mario Party. That's all I want.
I think, like, isn't it like a thing that, like, in Japan, like, nobody can really work from home, so that, like, the entire Japanese games industry has just had to, like, stop for, like, however many months?
Why can't they work from home?
Well, I think it's just not a... Well, I think it's a culture thing, but I think it's also because, like, you know, like, they have such small homes, like, they don't have, you know, beefy rigs to work on games at home. So I think stuff just shut down.
That's just so strange, because, like, you know, they can just post out a rig from HQ if they want to. Yeah, it's unusual to hear how resistant they are to working from home. It's from especially a video game company where remote working would be quite viable, because most of their role is done on the computer.
But most people don't have the tech, I don't think.
Yeah.
And they can't really go out and go to, like, internet cafes or something.
No, but, you know, what I mean is, like, you know, you just post the rig that they would have done in their workspace to their house. And then they're up and running again.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, this is based on information from ages ago. I haven't checked in.
Japan's not a big country either in terms of physical size, so the postage should be pretty fast.
Yeah, but then they also don't have a lot of room to set up a workstation. I don't know, whatever.
They're very space efficient, the Japanese, typically, so with their homes.
They're living in capsule hotels.
I'll forgive Nintendo for all of this if they just give... they just let another developer make a Pokemon RPG.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Now, I can't remember if we spoke about it on the show last week. I don't think we...
Oh, who remembers?
But the Marvel's Avengers game is not doing very well. Apparently, they've lost tens of millions... On that one, it's not doing great at all. And they've announced now, finally, Kate Bishop will be coming to the game December 8th as a free add-on character.
Finally! Kate Bishop! Yay! Free. Who's Kate Bishop?
She's, like, Hawkeye's daughter, who's also called Hawkeye, which totally isn't confusing.
Whatever.
I mean, she is a cool character, but, like, she's not gonna fucking save the Titanic.
Is she as cool as Hawkeye? Who's the coolest? Yeah. With his bow?
She's a girl, so she gets bonus points for representation, I guess.
What makes Hawkeye a superhero? Is it because he has his bow is magic or, like, super tech? Or is it his ability to shoot arrows.
Well, what the fuck is Black Widow doing that's so important? She can, like,
well, she's,
you know,
she's Lady
axe kick and shit.
Yeah, but she's Lady James Bond, so she gets a pass.
Well, this is male James Bond, but way more gaudy.
Yeah, I think he's just Batman, oh, yeah, okay. Basically. You know, he's got good technology, I mean, and he's got the skills, you know. That's pretty much whenever they don't have powers, I go, oh, okay, they're a Batman then.
He's even more like James Bond because he shoots things.
He's James Bond.
I gotta say, Hawkeye would have to be like the least enticing of all the Avengers, and to pick, like, you know, the lesser known of the Hawkeyes who hasn't actually been in any of the films to try and save your sinking ship. But
it's one of those things where I think what happened is, like, they were already going to have her in the game, and they were just like, oh shit, things are going terribly, get it out now. So there's probably a bunch of crunch behind it, so that's fun. Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna fucking work. It's not gonna come back from what's happening to it.
You know what's actually fun? Bloody Fall Guys. And it has sold over 10 million units on Steam now. And it's, yeah, we already knew it was the best, the most downloaded PS Plus game of all time as well, too. I don't know how we haven't heard anything about the sales as far as Fall Guys goes on PlayStation after that. But, yeah, good to know Fall Guys has sold a lot of copies. Apparently, the player base has dropped off a fair bit. I've stopped playing at this point. I haven't played it for a few weeks now. But as I've mentioned on the show before, I do want to, you know, give it a break for a while, let it a couple more seasons come out, and then I'll definitely be jumping back in, because it is a lot of fun. It's just, you know, you can only play those same levels over and over again for so long.
Yeah. You got to release a lot of content to keep people going back every month.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. And look, something that I don't give two shits about is the Game Awards. Jeff Keighley's Game Awards that happen every year. I just think they're just a massive advertisement. If you want to watch the Game Awards, you're better off just watching all the trailers afterwards, because they don't give a fuck about the awards.
I mean, that basically is what award shows are for.
Yeah, but fuck that, man. I want to, like, you know, see a little bit of, like, what the developer made when they're reading off the nominations, rather than them just reading a list and just announcing who won it. Sometimes they'll just announce two of the winners, just, like, you know,
I love that. Stay tuned for our trailers without handing
out an award to anyone. It's like they don't give a shit about the awards.
Yeah, but
like,
stay tuned for our upcoming Christmas specials on the podcast. Yay!
I mean, yeah, like, you maybe know, watch the Consolables Awards.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I mean. Is that that's literally what we did last year for Christmas?
Yeah.
I mean, we did a top 10. We actually talked about games.
We didn't
fucking just advertise games that hadn't come out yet. But look, anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because for once I actually, like, pretty much agree with them on the nominees for Game of the Year, as much as I don't think these awards are important at all. The nominations for Game of the Year were Animal Crossing New Horizons, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part 2.
I'm jazzed that Hades got in.
Fucking oath, I'm stoked that
Hades. Yeah, so Hades is the only one that I think deserves an award out of everything that you said there.
Man, Doom Eternal was fucking incredible. Ghost of Tsushima was fucking incredible.
Oh, look, yeah, okay. I haven't played those, so I can't form an opinion. I heard they're good. Yeah.
Dude, I've literally played... Oh, how many? I've played 3 and, like, a little bit of Doom Eternal. I played Animal Crossing, Hades, Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, holy shit. I don't think this will probably ever happen again, but I've actually played every single one of these games on the list.
I've
rolled credits on all of them, except for fucking Hades. I still haven't rolled credits on Hades yet.
Well, yeah,
Hades
is
great.
It's so good.
What would you say is your favourite?
My favourite... So, it's hard. Like,
can
it's,
I guess?
So the one that,
can I guess
I'd be
for
like,
you?
It deserves the award, like, as far as, you know, game design and all that stuff goes. You could maybe say it's hard to say.
It's Ghost of Tsushima for sure.
It's for me. It's my pick's Ghost of Tsushima.
You're an insta whore for Ghost of Tsushima, so I know that's your favorite.
It's just the one I had the most fun with this year. Like, it just I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. I thought it was just going to be a Assassin's Creed clone or something like that.
Which
it
is.
So good. It is in some ways, but in the best of ways.
I have a feeling that...
And it's not by Ubisoft.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Ubisoft has now decided, okay, well, I guess that big Japanese Assassin's Creed we're going to do is going to be shelved for a few years? Fuck.
Yeah, no. Green who gives line. A shit about that now?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I want Hades to win.
As far as what I think will probably win, it's probably going to be like Animal Crossing.
I reckon Last of Us Part 2 will win.
Yeah. Look, I think it's...
not my favorite, but...
I think technically it's probably the best game there. Like, the gameplay was incredible. The visuals were insane. But as far as, like, what I enjoyed the most, it was definitely... I think it was Ghost of Tsushima there. But just Animal Crossings was just such a fucking... phenomenon this year. It sold, I think it's like it's the almost the best-selling Nintendo exclusive of all time, and it's the best-selling Nintendo Switch game. And if you look at the numbers that they do, like it completely eclipses even the best-selling PlayStation games of all time. The only thing I want to say about this though is fuck Final Fantasy VII Remake. It does not belong in there. That game sucks. Feel free to at me, hey, anyone who disagrees.
What about you, Dean? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm Dean. well, Sammy, I think... I haven't played most of these games. They're all PS4 exclusives. So like, the only one that I've played is Hades, and I think it's bloody great. I think it's just... I think it's one of the best dungeon crawl games that I've ever played. It just feels so good. And you can play that for hours, listening, just chilling out, listening to stuff. And, I mean, you could say the same thing for Animal Crossing, because I hear Animal Crossing is the perfect chill-out game. I think it's fucking that's stupid, cool, but, you know, that's my opinion. And apparently my opinion's very wrong.
Well,
yeah, you know, so this is why I'm not on the committee board for these big brain game of the year companies. I would go with Hades just because it's so fucking good and it was put together by indie developers and I just love it.
Well, you know what? Ghost of Tsushima got me so moist that I was leaking. You know who else was leaking? Somebody.
Tom Holland, probably.
It is time for a return of our famous segment, Somebody's Leaking.
Allegedly.
Microsoft Store has leaked. Far Cry 6's release date is coming May 5th of 2021. Now, this is not a big leak or anything like that, but I just haven't used the Somebody's Leaking bumper in a long time, and I just wanted an excuse to put it in here, and I didn't get to use it on the other story earlier on because I felt bad about it, so that's why it's happening now. Anyway, that'll do us for all of our stories.
Hang on, you've dropped some information. I want to know, like, Far Cry 6, you say. Did they...
Yeah, it's coming out in May. It was delayed. Yeah. It's coming out in May. What else you want to know?
What's
fuck.
No, what's the setting? I mean, it's a big-ass game. I'm interested.
We've spoken about it on the show before. I'm not going to talk about it again.
It's the one with Giancarlo Esposito, and he's like a Brazilian dictator or something.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I totally spaced out on that. That's right. It's the Mandalorian in Far Cry.
Which is why I didn't explain it to you, because yes, we have spoken about it many times before.
I hated 5, I'm gonna be honest. Like, it looked beautiful, it felt all right to play, but it just the story and American countryside is boring.
They're all merging into the same game. Like, there's like slight differences, you know. Like, Far Cry is first person, and that's like the unique selling point at this point.
Typical Ubisoft cookie cutter games. We know exactly what we're getting. Something that I don't like is the segment that we do each week, which is the games that were released in the last week. Halo 4 came to PC. Katamari Damacy Reroll came to PS4 and Xbox
One. Was it released ages ago?
It came to PS4 and Xbox One, so maybe it was released on PC?
I think I played that on Switch.
Okay, there you go. Now it's on PS4 and Xbox One. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity came to Nintendo Switch. Now, I just read that. I don't know if you guys will be able to tell with my iPad doing this for some reason. You see that?
That's neat.
It's just vibrating.
I think
it's pulsing with excitement. Yeah.
And while I go have this seizure, let's take a quick break, shall we? And then we'll get back in with the games that we've been playing.
Woot.
Now, to start us off, we brought you on this episode, Sam, to talk about a game, a fantastic fantastic game that you were very excited to play. What was it? Tell us about it, because I know it has to do with music, and that's all I know.
It's called Futha, and also Dean played it.
That's me, by the way, everyone.
That's you. Yeah. I need to remind you of your own name. You must be forgetful, Jews.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm kind of curious as to what you thought of it as someone who, you know, hasn't had the prior experience that I have had. Did you enjoy it?
So tell me what it is first.
Fuser,
what is
also, Fuser.
Yeah,
and but also what tell is people it? What it is.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, what no worries. So the title's pretty self-explanatory. Like, it's a music-themed game. Think in the same vein of Rockstar or Guitar Hero, definitely in terms of visuals and aesthetics. Where the focus this time around is on your ability to mix things like a DJ, you know, down in the club, and you're able to mix up four key musical categories where you have your bass line, you have your synth rhythm, your other rhythm. I couldn't tell the difference between the two, but it feels significant when you're doing it. And then you have your singing, your vocal tracks. And so that's the baseline of where, like, you know, they had this really cool concept where you can mix that up and it sounds really great sometimes and it sounds awful other times. I love at the very beginning. Oh my God. We're going to get into that, because at the very beginning, they're like, oh, this song has the killer bass line. And it's just like, do, 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 do. And it's like, the fuck. It reminded me of, Rick and Morty, where they're playing human music. And they're like, oh, human music, that's pretty good. That's the premise, and the main campaign to incorporate this thing where you have all these songs that you can mix together is that you need to mix them timed properly, and you have to listen to the audience's prompts to make sure that you can rock up a good score. Completely forget how it sounds. It can sound fucking trash, but as long as you align it, you're building those points, and that's the game premise.
And you like it thus far? What you played of it?
All right, yeah. So I've only played about an hour or two of it, so I can't give too strong a view in terms of, like, you know, the where I think it's going. But I really, really like the feel of fusing the music together. I really loved it. It was instantly, they give you some really good songs to pick from. I love Billie Eilish. So, like, being able to fuck around with her, going, "I'm the bad guy," to Rick Astley's "Never Gonna Give You Up" music was just, like, that felt wonderful. It sounded great, and it felt great. And then the gameplay mechanic came in, and then I was like,
Okay, so it's not original songs, it's all licensed music.
It is.
Yeah. Well, there are some original songs, which you might not have gotten up to yet.
I haven't unlocked anything, so
And they unlock some of that just through the campaign. So, yeah, I mean, one thing I do have to ask is, like, I think it's pretty good, asterisk. There are some issues with it.
Yeah.
Have you had it crash?
No, so it hasn't crashed for me. No, I've been lucky.
Oh my god, I've been lucky.
It hasn't crashed for me. I haven't come across any bugs at all. So in terms of execution, I feel like it's a solid launch, which is all I can
say. I've had it crash a bunch.
Okay, so knowing that Lockie's only played an hour or two, it's making me worried to think that you're surprised that he hasn't had a crash yet.
Well, I mean, let me put it to you this way: the first night that I played it, I actually, like, looked it up, and it was for, like, around 126 minutes, so a bit over 2 hours, and it crashed in that period of time 4 times.
Oh, there you go. So give it another six times, minutes, actually, Lockie, and then you're going to be crash city.
I mean, I don't know what it is. That's, like, how it works. It could be an issue on my end, but, like, I looked into it, and they were just like, you know, update your GPU, check this, check that.
Was everything that you had current? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, unless, you know, like, the computer's going to be like, well, actually, that didn't update at all. Mm. Like, I don't know. I do have some, you know, other issues that are not GPU related. Mm. For example, I got into the battles, which are really interesting. It's a really interesting kind of dynamic and stuff. And it wouldn't, like, it has, like, a tier system. So there's, like, 6 tiers, and there's, like 10 ranks in between them, and as you win, you kind of go up the ranks. Every time I left a match, and that includes, like, the servers timing out or some shit, or the game crashing, I'd go back to it, and it would have reset my progress down to the bottom again, which sucks. especially since you have to get to a certain like threshold before you can bring your own music. Like at the start, they just give you like a default like set of songs to use, you know, and that kind of annoys me. But I think, you know, aside from like those kind of glaring issues, I think it is like a crazy improvement. Like you're going through the campaign, right? And you're only a little bit way through.
Yep.
There's like 6 or 7 stages, right? And apart from like the last one, every one of them is introducing new mechanics, which is kind of nuts.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, by the end, you know, you can put effects on all the tracks. You can, like, queue up for things. And, you know, when you hit the space bar, it just puts, like, you know, multiple tracks on the thing at the same time. So you can completely change things. You can have, like, rises, like, all kinds of crazy shit, which I love. And, yeah, I don't know. I think overall my opinion is I think it's, apart from my personal issues with crashing and everything, and also, it was crashing in menus, which I was just like, what?
Jesus.
Like, guys, menus. But aside from, like, that kind of thing, it's kind of one of those things of just, like, I think this is a really, you know, like, it's a massive improvement on Drunk Mix and all that kind of stuff. But it's also, like, you know, kind of also just Drunk Mix, so it's kind of less novel and something. I don't know. I think I had too high expectations because literally Drunk Mix is what got me into currently doing music. So.
Okay.
You know, it's had a lot of effect, whereas this is just like, it's pretty good, you know, I kind of like that they're handling DLC where you can just buy individual songs, which is nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. I saw that you can drop $150 on Steam to get a really big library, so it's one of those things where like, it's a royalty game, like, so the what's eating up this game in terms of costs is just sheer music licensing. Yeah. It's definitely not the graphics, because it looks like shit. I'm gonna have to be
I wouldn't say it looks like shit.
That's where I'm gonna have to be hardline on it, where I looked at this and I thought like it looked exactly like Guitar Hero from fucking 15 years ago.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, I'm not super angry at it because it's more utilitarian. And yeah. I mean, you know, admittedly, a lot of the fancy graphics are, like, stuff that's in the background that you're not going to fucking pay attention to because you're like, shit, gotta get on the beat.
You're right. The game really wants you to focus on getting those fucking beats right. But it's just one of those things where instantly it took me back to a time I did not want to go, and that was PlayStation 2 graphics. So like, and it starts off on an Unreal Engine. It's like, oh, this game's being played on Unreal Engine. And then it just gives me that. And I go, oh, with a game like that, you kind of really want to nail the visuals because the visuals really enhance everything that's going on around you.
Yeah.
It has fireworks going off, but the fireworks look like crap. They do.
Why are you paying attention to that?
I am because they're so distractingly bad. It just felt like, why even have them?
That bad.
That's all I can say. Yeah. It's just the graphics are a huge step back. You're several generations stepping back. And I guess the reason behind that is probably just sheer licensing of the songs alone is why you have to drop $80 in order to play this game. But like in terms of the actual game, how it's designed, it feels like it's maybe, you know, $30, $20 sort of.
Wow.
Yeah, honestly.
Okay.
I don't mean to be harsh. It just doesn't feel like a current game.
I mean, I will definitely say, like, you know, going back to like the previous version of Dropman, like I feel bad because I'm constantly just saying Dropman.
Yeah,
but I'm obsessed with it. But like, I do very much feel like I preferred when they had that aesthetic because like they'd have, you know, like these individual art. Like pieces that were made for the individual cards and stuff, and like they've kind of recycled it into Fuser, which is nice. But you know, I think I still definitely prefer, you know, the way they had things set out. Like it was much more simplified, which, you know, makes sense because it was on a phone. So like, but you know, I prefer that. You know.
Alrighty, so Sam, I checked out your stuff on Spotify. Everyone out there, his stuff's fantastic. Go give him a follow on Spotify and check out his content. Now, would I be right to assume, based on the style of music that you create, that you do a little bit of DJing and mixing yourself?
It's more production than DJing.
Have you had any experience doing that at all?
Not a ton. Like I want to get into kind of doing that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm very nervous about doing it on a stage.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of energy. Like it seems like really intense energy that you have to keep switching things up to keep people interested. At least that's the way that it feels in the game. God. You're like, oh shit! I'm kind of put on the spot here.
I mean, like, I will say, like, I could not, like, crack, like, 5 stars in that game until the very end. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was constantly, like, despite the fact that that's not necessarily one thing that I want to do, which is a bit of a criticism because, like, I like that the game is pushing you to do certain things and it can create some good moments and stuff. But then it just as equally can destroy great moments because you're just like, yeah, well, now you have to get rid of all the tracks. It's like, okay, cool. But this sounds nice.
So for someone who's curious about DJing and mixing, do you think it does a good job of emulating that? Do you think who haven't done it before will have fun and feel like they are DJing?
Firstly, not quite because, you know, the idea that you'd have, like, you know, a separate part of these things that you just kind of have queued up is a little bit nuts.
Dropping the bass from one song into the, into the melody of another.
Yeah, like real DJs would not be pulling off something as, like, advanced and technical because, like, that would kind of be nuts. You know, it'd be a lot more kind of like, here's one song and we're going to just transition to a new one. Yep. I kind of feel though, and you know, this is kind of why Dropmix helped me with this kind of thing is, you know, I think for a music production side, I can kind of see how this is useful because, you know, it gives you, the ability to kind of, you know, change up different sounds and kind of be like, okay, how does, you know, this drum loop make me feel? Cause like, a lot of music production is just like listening to songs you like, but like really intensely of just like, okay, what are the drums doing? What is, you know, this instrument doing? And this kind of gives you the ability to break it down into the individual parts, which I think is really cool. But like, could you go from this to doing a DJ set? No. But you know, it's teaching you little things. It's teaching you like the effects. Like you might not know what a low pass filter is, but once you've played this game, you're like, okay, I get what that's doing. It's just kind of muffling the sound.
Okay, so kind of like with Guitar Hero back in the day, you couldn't play Guitar Hero and then go and pick up a guitar, but you can't say that you weren't learning something about music when you were playing that game. You definitely were.
Exactly, and that can be, you know, that's part of the reason why Tropic Software get into music production is because, you know, it made me realize how important like keys are. It made me, you know, understand, you know, different drum patterns and stuff, and I think, you know, that can be just like a useful kind of toy to be playing with to kind of learn things through playing.
So do we have anything left to say on Fuser, people?
Not really.
Do we feel like we've played enough to give review scores or no?
I'd say, yeah, I'd probably say this is like a, I don't know, maybe like an 8.5 or so. Like it's got more than enough issues that I can't give it a 9, but you know it is still kind of, you know, special for me in you know the 2020 gaming landscape.
Mm.
Bloody oath, Dean, what have you been playing this week?
All right, so yeah, okay, so I only allocated an hour or two to Fuser because pretty much Valhalla has just been consuming my entire life for the last week.
Okay.
And it seems to be spilling out in various areas. So we're hearing that Ragnar is you know, stealing from Capcom and it's all folding in on itself. World and fiction is just colliding in this kind of horrific but also beautiful way. I'm fucking loving this game. Oh my God.
I look forward to, like, later on down the track, because I've been spending loads of time playing that as well. I look forward, we talked about it loads last week, so I think we'll wait till we finish it, have a bit of a review, and we may even do a bit of a spoiler episode on that one, because there is a lot of stuff to talk about in this game.
There is a lot. There is a lot, and it just seems to keep building in terms of things that are great, things that are frustrating, things that are mind-blowing. It's all in equal spades. I will say, though, I am loving Gavor. I think Ubisoft did a very good thing in how they're handling, in a very lazy and efficient way on their part, how they're handling the dialogue options. And I love that they give everyone basically the opportunity to pick whatever dialogue option path they want. And it's no, you know, it's no skin off their nose.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can't wait to get into Assassin's Creed Valhalla more in the future. But it's funny you should bring up the how Assassin's Creed sort of has bled over into the real world with good old that Ragnar, whatever it was called.
It was Ragnar Loki, yeah. Which is very...
Locker.
Was it Ragnar Locker?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were going... I thought they were saying Ragnar Loki. Yeah, I thought they were doing that, and I thought that was cringe. So maybe Locker means something else. Well, it is, because, you know, you just slap a god name at the end of an old king. That's a bit cringe, you know? That's a little bit ho-hum.
All right, whatever.
So anyone who listened to last week's episode will know I didn't get to give Miles Morales its due diligence because we'd been going on for 3 hours, so I had to cover that one really quickly. So today I've now finished Miles Morales, and so I'm looking forward to really getting into it and giving it its due diligence. Now, the reason why I mentioned before video games bleeding over into real life, this is a weird, weird coincidence. When I brought my PS5 home and Miles Morales, the Spider-Man game, I realized that up in my windowsill there had arrived a redback spider that's just like sort of chilling in the corner of the windowsill. And it's been there like since then. And just it's
have
just
you
like,
let him play? You
know, walk past it all the time, the stairway is just chilling there. And then, get this right, but the last time I played it, fucking got up after sitting in my bed for however long I'd been playing it for, moved my blanket, which I had just had sitting on me, and then out from the blanket comes running a little spider, not a redback. Fuck. I think it was a what?
Did you let it like, bite you?
It did not try to bite me. It did not look like it was a genetically enhanced super spider.
You're stressing me out, man. I'm sure there's at least some of our listeners would be very stressed out to hear this. Did you get rid of the spider?
I couldn't find the spider.
I can't believe you didn't fucking get rid of it to begin with. Like, how do you not see a redback in your home and be like, oh yeah, I'll just let it hang out?
Man, it was clearly summoned here by Miles Morales, which means it probably has the power of invisibility. Spoiled one of the powers for everybody.
I mean, that's not a Miles spoiler. Morales. It does it in the comics.
It does do it in the comics. For me, it was a neat little thing because I don't like really follow the comics. But anyway, Miles Morales, the video game. So now that I've completed Miles Morales, I can go a bit more into what I thought about the narrative and stuff like that. I've already touched on the gameplay. It is, you know, the Spider-Man gameplay that you love. Miles feels different to playing as Peter Parker. And the new powers that you get to play around with, like the Venom abilities and the invisibility, so much fun. It was an absolute blast getting to relearn how to play as Spider-Man again and getting to play around with his new powers. Absolutely loved it. The place that I was really surprised was, though, was the story. I had a great time with the narrative. I really cared about the characters. I thought the characterization was bloody excellent. To the point where a lot of people really lauded the story in the Spider-Man 2018, and I enjoyed it, but I don't think it sort of hit the heights for me as what it did for a lot of other people. Like a lot of people, you know, going, that's the best Spider-Man story ever, blah 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 blah. It's better than Spider-Man Far From Home, I'll admit that, but that movie wasn't that great. Anyway,
I'm so over the Spider-Man franchise. I'm sorry, I've been over it for a long time.
Well, look, on consoles, it is good, and when you do borrow my PS4, you'll be able to play the Spider-Mans.
Can you play? All right, here's the exception. I hated all the Spider-Mans after Spider-Man 2. That was the last one I liked until Into the Spider-Verse, and that was. I really liked that because that was different and it felt like it actually had something to say. So, do you get to play as Pink Spider-Man from that one? I liked her.
Not that I've unlocked yet, but if you do like Into the Spider-Verse, there is an awesome skin of the Spider-Verse suit with all the weird proportions that it has from the film, and also a mod that you can attach to that suit and also any other suit, which actually matches the frame rate from that movie, which takes a little while to get used to, like, made me feel
so
fucking
it's a bit stuttery.
Oh, comic book feely. Okay.
Oh, full on. And I found out, Lockie, when I showed you that time after we recorded last week, that I didn't have that filter on. So I was not showing you anything at all.
Yeah, all I could see was that his limbs were not human. His hands and feet were fucking huge, and like his calves were like these weird skinny twigs. So like I knew something was wrong visually, and that's why I said to you, like, what's going on here? This doesn't look like a person. This certainly doesn't look like a Spider-Man. This looks like spider jaundice.
Oh, look, I don't know how I got to hear from talking about the narrative, but I don't want to forget to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it is so bloody good. Miles, as a character, I actually prefer to Peter. Peter, where you pick him up in the 2018 story, he's already been Spider-Man for a few years, so he has a lot of experience. Whereas Miles, he's very, very new to being Spider-Man. He only just got his powers in the previous game. So this is all new to him, and so he really feels Peter has to go away to take photos for Mary Jane in Europe, you know, convenient excuse to get him out of the picture. And the weight and responsibility of looking after New York and Harlem is left to unto Miles. And you really do feel that with him. You really do feel the sort of struggle that he's going through, trying to sort of be the sort of best kind of Spider-Man that he can be. And he makes a lot of mistakes. And I love that. I love flawed heroes and just flawed protagonists in my stories. I always find them to be more interesting than just these perfect, like, picture perfect, they never make a decision you would never disagree with characters that you see from most video games, like these generic ass characters. It just makes them so much more interesting. And yeah,
so
they play
into the flaws a little.
Look, I don't really want to spoil too much here, but he does a bit of lying to some friends where he probably should have just been more straightforward to them. Kind of, in a way, a typical thing that a 17-year-old teenager would kind of do.
Were they like, oh, I'm thinking about dyeing my hair blonde, and he's like, yeah, you should totally do it. And you're like, oh, that's a good character flaw.
Close. He was talking about getting an eyebrow piercing, but yeah. You're
nothing's wrong with that. That's good. That's a good look.
Oh, anyway, yeah, I really love the narrative in this one. I actually preferred it to the previous game. It is shorter. But total time, I collected nearly all the collectibles, nearly did everything you could do in the game, did all the side missions, and I've spent 16, 17 hours playing, which I think is a decent amount of time. A lot of people are complaining about this being too short. I think if you just mainline the story and just focused on that, then yeah, you would be disappointed. You'd be like, yeah, that's just too short. But it's the stuff around it that really makes this game great. The side missions are all really worth doing. They've got these interesting, weird little stories. Like one of them, you got to go find someone's cat, which I know as we've spoken about previously on the show, there is a skin where you have a cat that's in your backpack that wears like a spider mask in it. Like it's animated.
Oh, that's
and does
adorable.
Things.
Yeah.
It's cute. I'm a sucker for cute animals in video games, especially if they interact with the world around them and whatnot. I just think it's super cute and awesome, and yeah, a great inclusion into the game. I'm very pissed off though that you don't get it until after you complete the main story, because I would have loved to have played the entirety of most of this game with Spider Kitty in the old backpack. But yeah, that's another thing to talk about. The collectibles are all fantastic. They're all these really cool different suits. The suits all unlock a suit mod, which changes the gameplay in meaningful ways or does interesting things, like, you know, that frame rate thing I was talking about earlier with the Into the Spider-Verse suit. All the upgrades feel great, and they feel in that, like, they all impact on gameplay. Had a ton of fun with that. It was really fantastic. Yeah, I absolutely love it. What a fantastic launch title. Some of the, you know, PS5 gimmicky shit, like the haptic feedback and adaptive controllers, which in Astro's Playroom was fantastic, like was implemented really well. Didn't feel like it was implemented anywhere near as well in Miles Morales. The adaptive triggers, I barely noticed anything. I guess you could feel something when you were swinging, but it was very, very minute. And the most I ever felt the haptic feedback was, you know, if you, you know, do your typical open world thing where you scan the area and it will pulse out to show you collectibles and stuff, you could feel the vibration sort of coming from the center of the DualSense and pulsing out. And say Miles was, like, you know, typing on a computer, you could feel like little taps over your controller. But it's like the tiniest things,
was your mind blown? Well, he's just typing. He's just chatting to his friends. And you're like, wow, the haptic feedback. Whoa,
I am the keyboard.
Exactly. It's one of the in Astro's Playroom. It was implemented well, and it felt like really cool and interesting. But this was kind of like, yeah, this is where you can see it being a gimmick, and it kind of gives me not a lot of hope as far as the adaptive triggers and haptic feedback are concerned for the future, considering this is a Sony first party game. Insomniac is now owned by Sony, and they haven't really implemented it that well on a launch title.
Give it time. Yeah, well, they probably didn't design this game with the intention of being launched on the PS5. They probably started dev way back during PS4 and thought it was going to be one of the PS4 finals rather than a launch for the 5. And then Sony, midway through the party, changed their mind and they're like, yeah, we're going to launch. We've announced the launch date and you're going to be our flagship. Figure it out. And then they're like, well, fine.
Good luck.
Now, look, I've seen Miles Morales running in 1080p as well as, like, obviously 4K on the PS5. And it still looks fantastic. So if you have a PS4, I'd say 100% pick up Miles Morales if you're at all interested, or if you at all think this will be fun for you. I had a fantastic time. I may even like it a bit more than the initial Spider-Man game. I really, really enjoyed it.
Blasphemy.
And I look forward to going back and doing the platinum. I'm going to give it 11 spider hams.
What?
Out of 12 prowlers.
What's a spider ham? What's a spider ham?
Into the Spider-Verse,
bro. Into the Spider-Verse.
Come on. Fake fan.
I don't understand. What is a spider ham? I still don't understand. What is it?
Well, if you don't understand, we're not going to explain it to
instead
you.
Instead of gatekeeping game culture, why don't you just clarify if you know it?
No. I'm gatekeeping. Yeah. I'm going to be superior for once. I'm going to feel like a PC gamer. Mm. PC gaming master.
I don't gatekeep shit to you. I explain it to you if you ask. That's just not on.
Rude.
Yeah, sorry, Dean. I refuse.
Yeah, I know. I'm in a bad mood now. I might say no to Castiel when he's showing his love for me and just watch him wooden face as he throws himself into Super Hill.
Okay.
Sam, have you been playing anything else this week you'd like to talk about?
I will briefly mention I managed to finally get a successful run in Hades, which was awesome.
Yeah,
at the risk of sounding like a complete asshole, I wasn't trying to, like, get out of hell on that run, but I did. Legitimately, I wasn't. I was trying to, like, farm darkness, and, like, the chaos, like, boon that I got was, like, get more darkness. And then I got, like, I got a duo in the first area.
Oh, lucky.
Which was, like, nuts. And I ended up getting 3 by the end, so I was just like, okay, let's do this. So that was fun, even though, without going into details, there's still more game.
There's so much to explore after you finish, like, the main sort of runs. It's one of those games you can just keep playing.
I'm gonna, like, give it a beat and come back to it.
What's your weapon of choice?
The shield.
The shield is fun.
We talked about this.
The shield is so
fun. The shield
is
good. The shield is very good. So I'm probably going to play a bit more. But the main thing that I played is that I finished, finally, Ghost Runner, which is just, it's so good. And I so recommend it. And I have absolutely no idea if you have any idea what I'm talking about.
I do. I know what you're talking about. I've seen, like, bits and pieces of it. And I've heard you guys talk about it on the Inconsolables.
Thank you.
And like, multiple people mentioning this as one of their most fun games this year. But, like, for people out there who do not know, please explain.
Like Dean.
What's Ghost Runner?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, don't gatekeep from Dean. He doesn't like it.
Oh, you know,
and
like
you're gonna tell.
You know, like I feel like you're making light of my mental handicap there, and that's a little bit, a little bit inappropriate. But okay,
you've got Google. Ghost Runner is essentially like Mirror's Edge, but like more cyberpunk, and with kind of like a bit of Hotline Miami kind of thrown into it. So the idea about it is that you are a cyborg ninja in the cyberpunk future, but, you know, there's not crunch in this one, so you can feel a bit more okay with it. And, yeah, like, you're a ninja, and you just do a whole bunch of parkour at everything. You've got kind of a sensory boost, which is essentially, like, you can slow down time and just dodge past things, you know, in complete defiance to the laws of physics, because you're doing it, like, midair. And, yeah, there's one-shot kills for you and for the enemies, and, like, the enemies range from, like, a dude with a gun to a dude with, like, an automatic rifle to a dude that will jump and jump at you and, like, do an area of effect where you are and possibly kill you. And ninjas, and oh my god, there's these absolute bastard little insect things that if they get close to you, they explode, which is absolute bastard.
Yeah.
But like, oh my god, they annoy me so much. Because they just one shot kill you. So I think this game is like pretty fucking awesome. I think the thing is like, It is kind of frustrating dealing with, you know, like, one-shot kills and everything, especially given that this is first person, which, you know, makes the parkour super awesome, but it also means you can just kind of get shot from your left and just like, oh, I died, what happened? Kind of bullshit, which I don't like that part. But yeah, it's just like, it's crazy, like, wall run into a boost into like a little zip line thingy that you can grab on into like killing someone into doing another wall run, and it's just like really crazy kind of precise platforming and stuff. But you know, the fact that you feel so awesome when you manage to pull shit off, you know, is enough to kind of make you go, I'm gonna keep persisting with this despite the fact that I died for no reason. I mean, I will definitely say that my feeling overall on it is that it's really fucking awesome, and then every so often it is the worst game of all time and you hate it so much because why the fuck did I die from that thing, and why are there just 20 people and I have to kill all of them somehow and not get shot once?
So is that a difficulty issue, or does it get janky in certain mechanics?
No. It's a difficulty issue.
Oh, okay, so you just got to get good. Yeah, okay.
And I'm not.
But that's good. That's good for a game. I love it when it challenges you.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like, I somehow managed to finish it, so it can't be that hard. But I mean, like, even then, like, a lot of the time it's, like, fucking intimidating. Like, some of, like, the later levels. Like, I remember, like, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but, like, the last level... you're in kind of like a cyber world, which you kind of visit every so often. And there's literally one where there's just like walls that are kind of slightly offset, and you have to wall run through like a dozen or so of them. And if you like screw up, you just like fall and die, like have to start the whole thing over again. It's just like, oh God, this is so intimidating kind of shit. I think this is really fucking cool and I'd really recommend it. As a bastard, yeah.
I looked into this one. It is not on PlayStation 4, which means... Or PlayStation 5, which means I can't...
Later on.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping it gets added on later down the track. And I'm guessing, based on how popular that it's been, that surely it's going to end up coming to console. And when it does, oh, yeah, I'm gonna pick this one up.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm watching it right now, and I'm going to pick this one up. It looks amazing. I love those free flow parkour games, and this one looks like it really nails that.
Yeah, and it's kind of this thing where, like, a lot of it you're kind of almost working off instinct of just like, okay, I've got to figure out, like, the game plan of, like, I'm going to go over here, and there's grapple hooks as well, and you can grapple over here and get this guy and wait for this guy to, like, run out of thing and then boost over and attack him and stuff. And, you know, it is very much like, you know, kind of... working on it and working on it until you get, like, efficient enough that you can kind of just, like, mow through
people. Also, there's boss fights, and the boss fights are nuts. Like, literally, the first one is just, like, a giant, like, cylindrical column with just, like, lasers shooting out of it, and it's just, like, skip rope and shit, but, like, with death. Like, what?
Damn.
But then when you fucking pull it off, you're like, oh, you know.
So, is there a narrative pulling you through all these levels?
Yeah. It's exactly what you expect. It's, you know, oh, there's a person talking in your ear and you've got to, like, defeat the person and uprising and all that stuff because it's a cyberpunk game and that's, like, literally every cyberpunk.
Yeah, it looks like Tron, kind of. Is it very much Tron?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, as I said, like, every so often you go into, like, cyber worlds and stuff and they actually got good puzzles in there, which is...
Yeah.
But mostly it's just, like, going around and killing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I love it.
Yeah, no, it looks good.
Sounds really cool. It's different to what I expected. I kind of envisioned it like a first-person Super Meat Boy or something where you're doing, like, very specific levels.
Feels like that sometimes.
Okay, yeah. But you're actually, like, sort of being taken through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, there are kind of more platforming, precise platforming kind of sections, but then you'll also have, you know... the rooms with, like, people that you have to go and kill, and you have to kill everyone to be able to unlock the door to the next room kind of thing.
Do you get to...
It's a good balance.
Do you get to fight Jedi Kurt Russell towards the end?
No. Well, you get to fight, like, a lady with, like, lots of tentacles and shit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Basically, like, Dr. Octopus.
That's awesome. No, I'm just throwing in jokes with Tron Legacy, because I really like that movie, and not enough people saw it.
No, if you're going to fight Kurt Russell, make it the one that was a planet. That was a great idea.
No.
Remember that, character was a planet?
I have problems with Galaxy 2.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sam, do you think you've played enough Ghost Runner to leave a review score on it?
Yeah, I finished it.
Oh, yeah, damn. Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
You have a bad memory, Dean. Damn.
Yeah, I'd say a 9. Like, I mean, you know, like... There are a few things that I have issues with, but it's kind of also like it's, you know, it's still generally encouraging, and I kept going back to it and I kept doing it until I finished it. So yeah, probably a 9, 9.5 maybe.
Okay, nice. I should have probably asked this before. How are the load times when you die? Because I think for a game like that where you're potentially dying a lot, if you're loading for a long time, then... Ooh, fuck
no, me. Like, it's instant. It's,
okay.
You know, the Hotline Miami thing of just like, let's get back straight into it kind of thing.
Yep, that's enough for me. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm 100%.
Now you just need to get a PC.
Yeah. I'll wait for it to come to console.
Yeah.
I've got plenty to play right now.
Zach, I love that you're asking about loading times because PC gamers, solid state drives have been out for a while and loading times have been a thing of the past for quite some time now.
Well, man, I've got a 664 gigabyte solid state now.
Yeah, you got one now. If clap, it doesn't... clap! The last horse has finally crossed the finishing line.
Yeah, until it overheats and explodes. And speaking of that, look, you probably don't. Well, sorry, Dean, you probably don't remember, but a few weeks ago we had Ryan Betson on the show from the For the Players Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast.
I remember. I vaguely remember.
Anyway, he of all people has to be the biggest PlayStation fan that I know, and that's coming from me, who's other than me, like he's got to be the biggest PlayStation fan. He's got the squares and circles, he's got the sacred symbols tattooed on his fucking wrist. Like, he's a huge PlayStation fan. Poor dude, his console has had an overheating issue.
Oh, fuck.
And is dead. He's had to send it in for
that's
a repair.
Horrible.
So, yeah, poor shout out to Ryan. That sucks, man. Of all people for this to happen to, it really
it
sucks.
It didn't happen to the Xbox, despite all those people blowing vape smoke into it.
Yeah. Maybe that was the problem. Not enough vape smoke in your console, Ryan. Maybe that was it. But yeah, shout out to him, you poor thing. I hope they get it repaired and you get it back as sort of quickly as possible. But as far as Godfall goes and impressions, I'm going to leave Godfall there for another week. I'm not going to bother with it.
Oh my God. I mean, that's a good impression right there, is that Godfall is not even worth making the cut.
I don't care enough about Godfall to make this a 2-hour fucking podcast.
Zach's apathy towards Godfall kind of says more than it ever would.
Yeah, it just looks sad. Like
it looks nice, but yeah,
it looks like there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing else beyond. Like, I saw a gameplay video of it, and I think it was like about a minute in before I was like, "Yeah, this is gonna be garbage."
Yeah, same here. I saw like 20 seconds of a gameplay demo, and I was just like, "Oh."
So I think it's safe to say that I'll leave that for a week where we have almost nothing to talk about.
I'm looking forward to hearing about that game and what is exactly wrong with it. Kind of like an autopsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't look forward to it. I've got nothing interesting to say about that
game. I just want
to
understand why.
Has nothing interesting to say.
You don't want to give us a teaser? Yeah.
Okay. It's got combat and loot and...
That's about it.
Yeah. That's Godfall! And that's news to review!
Yay! Oh, wow, what a sparkling high-energy note to end on. Thank you so much for coming on again, Sam.
Oh, Sam, it was an absolute blast. I think it is safe to say that we've made up for the lack of news last time, because that was, God, what some bloody juicy stories, and what a juicy time I had with you on the show once again.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it sounds vaguely sexual.
I'm ace.
Okay. Well, you don't have to reciprocate these feelings, Sam. That's okay. I'm comfortable enough with myself.
Zach,
as a human.
I feel about that.
I know. I'm Zach. I'm getting Ubisoft vibes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm getting Ubisoft vibes.
We're gonna have to transfer you.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's it. I'm transferring to another podcast. Sam, would you like to transfer your plugs to our audience?
So check me out on Twitch and Twitter, SammyDeedge, and check out my music at Pyrite Music on Twitter, PYRYTE_music. Yes.
Fuck,
and also
yes.
The Inconsolables.
Yeah. Follow that on Spotify as well too. All those links will be in the show notes down below. And if you want to tell us anything you thought about this episode, you can send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter is the best place to keep track of everything we're doing. Our Twitter handle is @news2reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2.
I love those qualifiers. Just so many qualifiers. It's great.
Lots of qualifiers. We got to make it really confusing. If it's too easy for people to find our stuff, and it doesn't feel rewarding.
It's like a fun little puzzle.
It's like a little mini ARG.
That's right. It's
like what EA said with the loot boxes in Battlefront 2. We want to give our listeners a sense of pride and accomplishment for finding our content.
That's like I said, pay.
Now, Dean, I'm not sure if you remember, but you're on a podcast right now. Oh, is there anything you would like to say to our listeners?
Well, hang on, I'm going to need to digest that revelation. Jeez. I'll say, thanks for listening. For everyone who once liked Supernatural and somehow managed to watch it until the end, all I can say is I'm sorry for your loss. I gotta say this because I did like the show.
Damn it, Sammy! I'm Batman.
It takes a lot of confidence to admit that. I really respect that.
Oh, thank you.
That show's gone to interesting places over the last 11 years. Everyone out there, you look after yourselves for the next 11 years. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
Bye.
I want to interlock my solid-state drive with your motherboard.
Like yep. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he's a bit more, like, innocent than that, but, you know, yeah, sure.
I'm seeing him wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and I assumed, like, he kind of looks like he's a bit of a fuckboy in the photos.
Wow.
Well,
okay.
I don't know. That's my opinion of people in Hawaiian shirts in groups.
Ouch.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's ouch. I just, that's the look. Like, they're down to swing.
You just keep digging yourself a hole.